Hey, it's the Vibe Check on PXY Mornings. You got Moose, you got Breezy, and we're just...
checking in
on those good vibes. 585-252-9800. What's the vibes this morning, Breeze? Where's our friends at?
Oh my God, they're pouring in both doors. They're knocking, they're stomping, they're running, they're moving, they're shaking. They're here, and they're excited. Megan's here. She says, good morning, Moose and Breezy. I'm going on a date tonight, and I'm a little nervous.
Oh, Megan.
Yeah, excited. It's been a minute.
All right, Megan, don't panic. Everything's going to be fine.
Everything's going to be just fine.
If he takes you to Chili's, you got to get the baby back ribs.
Oh, my gosh. The baby back ribs or the, what is the app? The trio.
The trio.
The trio.
That's Applebee's.
Oh, my gosh.
I ever tell you about the time I went on a date with that girl to Chili's? She's like, if you finish everything on your plate, I will have sex with you. I was eating
favorite story.
A full rack of ribs, beans. I was like, really? You want this completely bloated? All right, if I ate the bone and all.
It's not the trio. It's the triple dipper. That's what it is.
Where, though?
Chili's.
Yeah, it's a triple dipper.
You know,
For what? $5?
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
they just toss it in the microwave.
You want to save a buck, you go to Chili's.
Yeah, one time, it was like a couple years ago, I texted my girlfriends and I was like, why are we not going to Chili's? And they're like, what?
Well, yeah.
So we ended up going and it was wild.
You guys want to really test the waters?
Their chips are good.
You start dating somebody new, take them to Chili's, see how they react. If they have an issue with it, they are not the one. Megan, check in with us tomorrow morning. Let us know how
she's like, I'm not going to Chili's.
We're going to need a second date update.
Literally. Who else is here? We have Charlene. She says,
Charlene,
good morning. Feeling good. This is the first day all week. The roads haven't been garbage. On my way to the gym.
Oh, man. You're getting after it this morning at 6-something in the morning. Good for you. 6:12.
Good morning. I'd like to shout out my boyfriend whose 40th birthday is today.
It's your birthday.
Lordy, look who's 40.
We have no idea.
Yeah.
So
happy
that's
birthday.
Not going to work. He's not going to know who he is, I don't think, if we don't say his name.
Yeah, you should.
Have a great day, Moose and Breezy with an S. How are you, Vibes?
I had an awesome dinner at Red last night. It was myself, my brothers, our boss, Danger, my buddy Mark, and you would have thought we'd be full ordering everything off the menu, but the dishes there are so small. I mean, they're meant to be shared.
You get literally two scallops. I'm like, okay. I mean, they are good. But.
But the drinks were good, and the vibe was great. So it was cool. Yeah, it was a really nice night, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. Tomorrow's Friday. It's payday. The weather's not too awful today. 35 for the high. It doesn't look like there's going to be snow, but the hell do I know?
Right. We always say that, and then boom, there's snow.
it was a fun night. What's up with you?
I mean, not really sure. I've been hanging. Some cleaning, and yeah, just getting my life together like I do most days.
Yeah.
It was good. This person says, good morning, friends. I'm in my good feels because today I'm packing right now for Florida for leaving for Florida tomorrow.
See ya.
Going on Spirit Airlines. A little nervous. Have a great day. Yeah.
The Motel 6 of the skies.
Yeah. You'll crush it.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Thank you guys for checking in this morning. We appreciate that. We like to set the tone for the week, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a teenager, you're probably going to want to hear this coming up next because the National Health Program just released nutrition guidelines for kids focused on what they should not be drinking. And they're going to be pissed after they hear this, but don't shoot the messenger. It's coming up next for the big story of the day on PXY.
Every morning is a party with Moose and Breezy. Be a part of PXY Mornings now when you call or text us at 585-252-9800. The number one hit music station, 98 PXY.
I'd want to be next to you too, Breezy.
You're always next to me.
A leading,
never not next to me.
National health program that just released nutrition guidelines for kids focused on what they drink. And I'll tell you right now, some teens may not be happy to hear this, but among the recommendations, they are saying absolutely no caffeine before the age of 19. What are the odds that are going to happen?
If you what, they'll go to jail?
No, it's just, it's going to be very, very badly. It's going to affect you later on in life. If you have a teenager, you're more than likely familiar with Prime. It's that high caffeine energy drink that social media influencer Logan Paul, I think,
developed. Oh, did he? Yeah.
If you're not looking for a heart attack, then I probably wouldn't recommend it. This thing has 200 milligrams of caffeine. That's six times the amount of caffeine in just a 12-ounce Coke. A director of healthy eating research was discussing like all the studies they did on kids who intake caffeine on the regular. And I'm, you know, I'm sure it's not a huge surprise, but there was a lot of negatives. It leads to sleep disturbances, depression, a lot of other mood disorders, an increased risk of other negative behaviors, like an increased risk of alcohol and tobacco use.
Wow. Okay.
And they point out caffeine can also cause high blood pressure and even heart palpitations, leading the expert panel to conclude that kids and teens should definitely avoid caffeine as much as possible. But that's not all. The group also advised parents to limit even 100% juice. They said research shows the healthiest choices for kids for adequate hydration are water and pasteurized cow's milk.
Oof.
I'm sorry. That's, you know, we had this discussion yesterday on the show. You think you're doing all the right things. And they're like, no, that's unhealthy.
Like, no, you're definitely not.
This causes cancer. I mean, but they're saying like between the ages of 14 and 18, you should have 3 glasses of milk per day. Really?
No. I thought it came, see, this is what I'm like, thinking. I thought it came out that milk wasn't healthy for you.
Well, you know, this is pasteurized cow's milk. I don't know.
This reminds me of like when we were younger and Four Locos had came out.
Oh, please. Those were killing college
literally
students.
Killing. It was caffeine and alcohol, like an absurd amount of caffeine, an absurd amount of alcohol. And like people were literally having heart attacks.
Yeah. Scott Spisano made me chug a Four Loko in the studio and then see how fast I can run up and down the street on Court Street. I was like,
I don't know how someone didn't die. You know,
your kid is sweating his ass off on the soccer field. Here's a water bottle, honey, filled with pasteurized cow's milk.
I just need a Gatorade. Prime. I just want my Bang Energy.
Too much sugar.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not a caffeine girly. The only time I really drink caffeine is when I'm drinking espresso martinis, which...
I know. And it's, you know, it's odd because, like, kids today, of course, you see 14, 15-year-olds hitting up Starbucks on the daily. They all have the app, but they're not drinking coffee. They're going in there and getting a milkshake. I want a caramel frappuccino with the caramel drizzle. And a lot of whipped cream.
I think this just goes back to what we were talking about the other day with that mom who flipped out on me.
Kathy,
about if you feed your kids things from the jump, they'll never know what they're not having or they'll never know what they're missing out on. If you don't give them soda and if you don't expose them to the frappes, they'll never know that they're missing out on that frappe.
I agree with what you're saying, but on the other hand, everything is about moderation. If you give them just a little bit, it's going to keep them from going crazy when they're older and, you know, capable of just buying all this stuff on their own.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
They're not going to go overboard. Coming up on the show, a lot of stores now make us do self-checkout, even though we don't officially work there. And others are going to make us start downloading an app to access certain items within the store. And it's actually super simple. All you have to do is own a smartphone, you have to be connected to their Wi-Fi, and you have to have your Bluetooth turned on. And they actually think this is a great idea. I'm sure people in their 80s are going to love it. We'll tell you whose bright idea this is and whether you think it's a great idea coming up next. Majority of us in the last 10 years started working in grocery stores without even realizing it.
And this gets you hot.
Once they started making us bag our own groceries, I don't know what it is. I'm just still bothered by the fact that this is a thing. And the other thing that seems to be happening now is every time I walk into CVS, especially the one on Park Ave.
Yeah.
I think we're all pretty much aware of the stats at that store when it comes to theft, are we not? Well, now CVS wants us to all download a new app. And when we need something that's located within these locked shelves, we'll have to download the app. We'll have to sync our Wi-Fi to the CVS's Wi-Fi. We have to keep our Bluetooth on. We have to make sure we have a smartphone. And then we can access these locked shelves without having to call an employee. It seems like a lot of admin. How many of you are down for this?
It seems like a lot of admin for the fact that people steal. Just stop people from stealing,
well,
and you won't have to do something like this.
What are people getting paid to do anymore? We have to now bag our own groceries. We have to be responsible for downloading an app to unlock certain items at CVS. You know what I mean? And not to mention, we got to bring a suitcase with us that's large enough to fit their oversized receipts into.
Right.
We need to be put on payroll. I mean, how hard is it to just ring the bell and wait for Susie Q to come bring her keys and open up the case so you can purchase some clear gel deodorant?
Well, you'll be waiting there for a while because they have no sense of hustle. No sense at all. Also, I just don't understand why
they have no sense of hustle.
They don't. Literally, you ring the doorbell 100 times. I'm like, why is there a doorbell on an acrylic case? And they just don't come over. I'm like, can somebody help me? I just want a 5-cent toothbrush. They're like, can't. It's like, okay. They're like, Betsy has those keys. I'm like, okay.
Where's Betsy? She's on a flight right now to Florida.
So my my 5-minute Walmart trip just turned into a 3-hour ordeal. It's too much.
Basically, if you want to open these locked shelves at CVS, not only do you have to have the app on your phone, but like I said, you have to be on the store's Wi-Fi and you have to have Bluetooth turned on so it knows which shelf you're trying to access. And this already sounds like a lot of admin, especially if you're an 82-year-old.
Just going to grab their prescriptions to stay alive.
Well, their prescriptions are at the pharmacy, but
no, I know. But while they're there, they're probably picking up a couple of things. They can't stop 100 places.
Yeah, Grammy Seal wants, she's got to get those magnums. She's getting busy in the streets.
Right.
And though, those are locked up.
Oh, yeah, they stay locked up.
But let's read through the lines for 1 second here, you guys. This is my own personal opinion because you know me. I love conspiracy theories. But this is, in my opinion, just CVS. This is a sneaky way of allowing you to use their app so they know exactly what products you are purchasing so they can go and raise the price on those products.
But it's a good point. I mean, I never really thought about it like that. I just think it's because they're lazy. And is this a nationwide thing or just at... getting robbed every day.
Well, they're going to start implementing this at certain stores within the country. Rochester might be one of those stores. Also, these lock cases, the issue is a problem that they created. Even if they're saying it's necessary to curb shoplifting, don't preach to us about shoplifting, because if there's one thing CVS loves doing, it's allowing people to get away with it. Our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do.
Can I flip out for a second?
Because
I'm just so over this. I'm so annoyed. I'm so beyond past my breaking point with why do we, the 75% of good Samaritans that are law-obeying citizens, have to bend to the 25% of idiots who think it's okay to steal a car, rob someone at gunpoint, rob CVS, rob the, like,
I don't know if it's,
I'm being punished for that?
I don't know if it's 25%. That seems like a large number. But the thing is
sorry,
I understand what you're saying.
I thought that was generous.
Why can't they pay a security guard $20 an hour to watch the store? It's less money than the amount of money they're losing in product each day when they allow people to just come in there and take it.
Because
you remember the other summer after the Red Wings game? I was at the CVS at Park Ave and it got robbed while I was in there.
Yeah.
And I told the guy at the counter, I said, what are you going to do about it? He's like, oh, dude, this happens every day. There's nothing we can do about it.
Honestly, this is a hot take, but
well, do I have to pay for it?
Right, literally. He's like, can you just cover the rest of that? This is a hot take, but if you have a security guard at your store, I probably won't go to it. I probably won't.
I disagree.
God rest its soul, rest in peace to the Walgreens on Monroe Ave. But I was really nervous every time I went in there when it was around because there was a security guard and they did have to walk me to and from my car all of the time. And it was just like, what are we doing here? What are we literally doing here? I was getting solicited and badgered for money. And I'm like, I just want to pick up my photos. You know what I mean? Like,
I get that, Breeze. I get that. Let me go over to Mia that's texting in and she says, I love this idea because every time I go to CVS and need something from the lock cabinet, I feel like I have to wait forever because there aren't any employees in the store. Nobody behind the counter. There's nobody in the aisles. I can see why it becomes a target of theft sometimes. Let's go to the phones. PXY, what's your name?
My name is Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Talk to us.
So I worked as a security guard downtown for about a year. I was making $18 an hour. And for the amount of violence that we had to deal with, it just wasn't worth what they were paying us because right. we didn't get medical insurance.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, because you're like a private contractor or whatever.
Well, were you like 1099?
No. So I was an employee of the company. It was like a nightclub downtown.
Oh, I see.
But for $18 an hour, I watched someone get shot. So it becomes not worth it.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Yeah,
we're good on
that's why I quit.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all.
Do you think that being a security guard at a CVS might be a safer option than a nightclub?
No.
I mean, I don't know. With the state of the world right now, you really
don't know
what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I know. I get that. I understand that. But wouldn't you agree, though, that they can CVS with the money that they're making can maybe toss somebody $20 an hour to stand at the door?
I mean, I wouldn't do it for $20 an hour, considering the fact that people are getting so violent.
What would be a good price to tempt you to do that job?
Probably 30 and up, honestly.
Isn't that what like electricians get paid?
No, I think they get paid more, but
yeah. That's yeah, wow.
It would. I think the other part of that is stop trying to hire people as part-time employees and not pay them health insurance.
Of course. Yeah, I think that's a problem a lot of people are facing today.
It's really hard to find good help these days.
Tyler, thanks for the insight, man.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good day. And you know, in this, by the way...
Yeah, I'm good on that. I'll pass. Hard pass. I'm good.
This also begs the question, though, Breezy. Would there be any issues if you opened a lock cabinet, it didn't close properly...
And then you're on the hook?
And then all of a sudden... something gets taken from the store, are they going to see that you accessed it and come to you about that missing item? I don't know.
Listen, I think there's so many other measures that could be taken before we create an app, buy locks, buy acrylic casing, what are we doing here?
By the way, earlier this month, the CEO of Walgreens said that locking up everything has backfired because shoppers buy way less. So there's that. We're going to take a quick break. It's PXY Mornings, Moose and Breezy.
98 PXY.
How many spam phone calls are you guys getting in one day? Because I counted 20 yesterday alone. 20 spam calls / robocalls.
That's literally insane.
Telemarketing. I'm losing my mind, Breezy. It almost seems that, I don't know, the more you block these numbers, the more calls that you get. It's PXY Mornings, and, you know, I'm trying to get some insight on how to go about fixing this issue. So if you guys have any advice, 585-252-9800.
I think
my number is not an option.
Yeah, no one's going to change their number. But I think one of the biggest things is, like, figuring out how you end up on this list in the first place. Where did the data breach happen? Where did your number get leaked? Like, this is crazy.
I'm sure there's one or two websites in the past I put my phone number into, and I'm sure they sold, you know, my info.
But like, okay, what is a spam call, right? Because a lot of the times I get these spam calls and no one is on the other line.
Are you answering them? It's brave.
Sometimes I do if I think a doctor's appointment is calling me or whatever.
See, like 17
yesterday.
Or they'll
leave voicemails.
Spam, 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 spam. Most of them say United States. Others say robocaller. They all have the same area code. It's all 680. And I just, the more I block, I go through, I block every number and it's like they call back even more when I'm blocking the number. It's like they're almost doing it for spite. And yesterday was just one of those days where I was completely over it. And like I said, the more I blocked the calls, the more they would call back. It's like out of spite.
Right.
And this has now officially become personal. And I don't know what to do about it. We had this conversation. I was telling you how pissed I was at Verizon because my phone bill is $130 a month. So a lot of people are like, you should call them, try and fix that. I'm like, it just seems a little steep for one line to pay $130 a month.
Right.
But I was like, are there any options that Verizon offers that could help you block these numbers? I don't know.
If that's the case, I'm staying.
Well, I'm just, it's a headache, I'm so over it. Steve says, what's up, guys? I was getting the same thing. What I did was go into iPhone settings and go to phone and silence unknown callers. That has helped a little bit. Yeah. He said, I made the mistake by entering my phone number on every website I visited. Yeah. Those sites will absolutely sell your information.
That'll do her.
This is such a headache. God, I wanted to throw my phone up against the wall yesterday. And then if I did that, I would have panicked,
Yeah.
And felt horrible because God knows we're all so attached to our phones.
Right. I just like in this day and age, like how stupid do people actually think we are? Like, when does this work? I mean, maybe for like elderly people or people who aren't really tech savvy.
They don't know who they're calling. Like, I get a call a couple of weeks ago from this, he was an Indian guy. I was like, who is this? He's like, Walter. I said, what's your real name? He goes, it's Walt. It's like, okay. Well, apparently my social security number was broken and they needed me to fix it. Otherwise, I was going to be placed under the rest. I was like, oh, right. Okay, that sounds
the rest
serious.
The rest of who?
You're going to be placed under the rest if you don't fix the social security number. We need you to send us $500, and then we will officially be able to fix it. I say, how did it break? He goes, we don't know. This happens all the time, but we need the $500 immediately.
Right, of course.
I was like, all right, take my card number. It's 1234567 89. Moose, ask your provider if they have a spam blocker. They don't do it automatically. You have to ask. But try a spam blocker app like RoboKiller. Is it free?
Yeah, this person says, I block every spam number that calls me. That seems to work well. Okay.
Oh, this person, Julie, says you can't interact with the calls. If you don't drop the call, just silence your ringer, and they should start to go away.
So, for my phone, like, some of these calls won't even come through to my phone. What? Maybe that's a setting I have on my phone. Like, they won't even ring. They'll just say, like, missed call, and it'll be, like, potential spam and silenced and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe there is a setting, because I definitely have that on my phone.
I don't know. I got to figure out how to do that feature. Oh, God. This is so frustrating. Krista says, I block everyone, and after years, I get maybe two a week. My old phone number, however, was the number some skank used to have before me, and bill collectors, police, and some guy named Dizzy are all looking for her. Okay. Dizzy.
Dizzy's called me a couple times too, so that makes sense. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And that just comes down to like, I'm never going to change my number because you're annoying. Just like I said last break, I'm not going to inconvenience my life because you're an idiot. So
there's no way. I've had my number since 2000. Okay? And for the last 25 years, it's just a part of who I am.
Correct.
I can't do it. And most people who have a cell phone today, they've had their number, the same number, for over 20 years.
I cannot believe that people get new numbers.
People do it all the time.
So
but
crazy to me.
I got to ask you, though, if you've gotten a new number in the last year or so, how refreshing is it? Because some of you,
nobody,
you don't want to be reached.
You. No.
Some of you don't want to be reached.
No, you do not. Oh, gosh. I haven't gotten a wrong text in a while. And I'm fiending for it. I want someone to send me a text that they think they're talking to Janine from California. It's just like fun to chat with new people.
Moose, who's your phone provider? It's Verizon. If it's AT&T, they offer Active Guard. It will block suspected scammers and spam. I haven't seen one in months.
Looks like you're switching.
The free version works just fine. You don't need to pay for the monthly version. I would imagine most other cell phone providers offer something similar for their subscribers. Also, tell Walter I said hello. I will. I'll give him your best.
Absolutely.
We'll give Walter your best. I got to try one of these. I mean, there's definitely options here, but this is driving me nuts. I mean, every call that came in yesterday, I think it's an important call. Like, somebody's actually reaching out to want to speak to me.
Wait, yeah, that's
not a single person.
That's so funny. You, like, think you're super important.
Yeah, the whole day.
You're like, I'm so popular. I haven't even gotten this many calls on my birthday on Monday.
No, I didn't. And yeah, all these calls were because, apparently, my social security number is broken.
That's like when you leave your phone at home for the day and you come running back and you're like, oh, 50 texts. It's all just like coupon to Kohl's. Like, get money now. Just like
such
stupid
a waste of time.
Spam text.
Absolute waste of time. If your social security number is broken, I would definitely recommend fixing it. Otherwise, you're going to be placed under the rest.
Wait a minute. Something's missing.
Waking up this morning to some absolutely devastating news that took place last night. An American Airlines small Eagle plane from Kansas collided with a military helicopter crashing into the Potomac River near D.C.'s Reagan National Airport. This all happened Wednesday night, according to the FAA officials. The crash halted takeoffs and landings from the D.C. area airport as officials issued a ground stop and closed the airport, according to the FAA. The airport is expected to continue its ground stop until around 11 a.m. this morning. The video of this is absolutely horrific. You can see the explosion that happens.
Yeah.
It's not entirely clear, like, how exactly or why the helicopter was at the rate it was or where it was or things of that nature. But as of 7:20 this morning, 30 bodies have been recovered from this crash, from the river. And it's just terrifying. It's so scary. And like we don't really think about, I mean, some people do, but you don't really think about your planes crashing because it's very few and far between, luckily, thank goodness. But our hearts go out to all these people that were affected, their families. Like, it's just a lot.
And so just to get the story straight, this was an American Airlines jet with 60 passengers, 4 crew members, and it collided with an Army helicopter while landing at the Ronald Reagan National Airport. It turns out a lot of these passengers were from the they confirmed they were former champion Russian skaters were on board, a few U.S. skaters, I believe, too. But it doesn't look like there was any survivors. Is that right, Breezy?
I mean, not that we know of yet. Yeah.
This story is still, there's a lot of details coming in, and there's also a lot of unanswered questions, but obviously we'll get answers to those. It's just a tragic story. This took place at 9 p.m. last night. Just horrible.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show.
Coming up on the show, when you're in a relationship with somebody and as your relationship progresses, you obviously get more comfortable with them. But at what limit is your comfortability and how do you know that you're that comfortable? Is it a certain thing that you do? Is it a certain phrase that you say? Is it an action that you take?
I'm going to assume it's just pooping with the door open.
Right. Well, we'll get into all of that and more coming up next.
Five.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
$1,000.
Unbelievable.
Dollars.
KXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy Breeze. I've been doing the show with my shoes off this morning, and I got to say, it feels great. My pants are coming off next.
That's literally just me every morning.
At what point do you know you're beyond comfortable with your partner? What things do you do? Do you put your feet up on the kitchen table and clip your toenails during dinner? Do you try to get intimate even though you haven't showered in a week?
Right.
Ugh. But people do it.
I feel like the boundaries just like don't exist anymore.
No.
And I feel like there's such a delicate balance with this because it's such a good thing, right? That you're that comfortable with somebody, but it's also like, where's the mystery? You know what I mean?
Breezy, how long does it usually take you? And the other question is, who's more comfortable right now in your relationship? Because you guys, you and your girlfriend are coming up on 10 months? A year?
Yeah, it'll be a year in like 2 months. So yeah, 10 months.
Okay, you're about 10 months right now. Who's more comfortable in the relationship?
I think that we're both significantly comfortable. I just think that my girlfriend knows no bounds. And like, we'll do the same things to each other, but she loves to like pick at my skin.
Ew, like, no, that's not it. Ew.
Yeah, fully.
I don't like that. You let her do it?
Well, here's the thing.
You like it, don't you?
No, I hate it.
What is she picking at? Scabs?
Anything. Like pimples, blemishes.
What in the methamphetamine?
Ooh. Yeah. It's crazy. And most of the time I'll just be like on TikTok scrolling, so I don't even know what's going on. But then I'll like actually come to and figure out what's happening. I'm like, can you stop? And she's like, yeah, like 1 second. I'm like, no, like, stop like now.
I don't like that. I just, it's not for me. I don't want anyone picking at my skin. You're not a dermatologist. No. What do you do to her?
I mean, I'll pick at her stuff too. So I'm not like completely out of the realm with this, but I'm asking the question this morning to anyone else who's in a relationship.
Please
585-252-9800. How do you know that you're ever so comfortable with your partner? What tangible things do you do either to each other, in front of each other, that you're like, yeah, this is kind of, there's no more mystery here. This person says, when you fart in front of each other, that's when you know.
I don't know. I
see, can I say something before we?
Go ahead.
I don't know you in a relationship. I've never known you in a relationship. I've never seen you in a relationship. So I don't know, right?
That's not true. I've dated women that you've known.
Okay.
You know?
Okay,
go ahead. Sure.
Seriously, no. I've never seen
you. You don't know the ins and outs? Is that what you're saying? Like how I behave?
I'm going to assume that you
what?
Never get to this spot.
What?
I'm going to assume that you never get to this spot of comfortability with your partners.
Why would you make that assumption?
I'm just going to throw that out there because that just seems like your vibe. We're not pooping in front of each other.
No, we're not.
Front of each other. We're not picking each other's anything.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't think that's your vibe.
I would definitely say if you were to be comfortable enough to fart in front of your partner, which sometimes can lead to sharding, but if you were to do that, you would definitely, this is the person for you. I have not been comfortable to do that in front of anybody. I just, maybe a couple times, but it's not something I'm actively doing.
But if somebody did that, if a girl did that in front of you, you would break up with her.
I wouldn't say I would break up with her, but we'd have to have a serious talk.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Why would you feel the need to do that? How is that sexy?
It's not, but I think it's not. I will wholeheartedly agree with you. It's definitely not. But I feel like if somebody is that comfortable around you,
right,
that they feel that they can be their full, true, authentic self and not have to hide or sugarcoat anything, that is love.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just need to come to a place where I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Now, instead, so when we're intimate, I'm not thinking about that.
Why would you be thinking about that? This person says.
Because it's a turnoff.
Yeah, of course it is. But it probably is. Like, you do it too. Everybody does it, okay? So it is what it is. It's just part of being a human being, okay? This person says, I think you know that you are extremely comfortable with your partner when you have to give them an enema or a suppository.
Oh, God. No, I don't want to think about that. And in my own head, when a girl farts, I just want to picture her farting cupcakes and rainbows and sprinkles. That's
this person says, sorry, Moose, being in love is not 24/7 sexy.
I know. All right. I don't need you to give me a lowdown on what love looks like, okay? If anybody in this room knows what love is and passion, sitting right over here. And I'm not pointing at Breezy. So sorry.
No. I just feel like, get up. As annoying as it is, and as gross as it may be, I think that I take comfort in knowing that my partner and I can do that in front of each other without judgment.
Okay, so who's pooping with the door open?
I think everybody.
No, I'm talking to you. Was one of you guys doing it? Have you got to that stage of your relationship?
I think everybody involved.
I'm not trying to do potty talk this morning. It's a legitimate question.
This person says, you're right on, Breezy. I would say the same thing about Moose as well. This person said, I had super bad hemorrhoids and my boyfriend had to give me a suppository. Yeah.
Listen, I know, I've gone to certain lengths in relationships. With
this,
like, for example, when my girlfriend, my ex was, when my girlfriend, that one that passed away, was in the hospital,
yeah,
I had to remove her catheter for her. You think that was fun?
Okay. That is a very, very circumstantial situation.
Yeah, but
I'm sick. You had no choice. But this, everyone's healthy. Everyone's just living their best life. Okay.
Okay.
And I have, like, okay. Let's rewind. You're on vacation,
yeah,
with your imaginary girlfriend. Okay.
Right.
You are sharing a room.
Sure.
She has to have a blowout. She can't go to the bathroom.
I would.
You would expect her to go downstairs to the common.
No, of course not. That's not polite. I would remove myself from the situation and go downstairs. There's no reason for me to be there. Or I just take a flight home.
At this rate, we're never going to find you anybody. It's so tough. No, it's so tough.
98PXY. Just when you think you've got life figured out. Oh! You're a parent now. Moose and Breezy hear your dilemmas. Completely anonymous. And 100% supportive for another episode of PXY Mornings. Parental Confidential.
It's the segment where we give parents an opportunity to share a problem, a situation, or a dilemma they may be facing. And listeners can weigh in with any advice that could be helpful. This is a tough one today because sounds like this poor mom, who we'll call Stacy today, has tried everything possible to keep her 17-year-old son from going off the rails. Not a single thing has worked. And as a parent, what's the last resort? How far are you willing to go to get your kid on track before it's too late? The message is as follows. Hi, Moose and Breezy. I'm asking if you can please help me and read my message on your show. I'm a 42-year-old single parent, 3 kids. My 17-year-old is the middle one. I'm currently typing this crying because I don't know what to do anymore, and it's been such a struggle. I have no issues with my other two kids, but my 17-year-old, on the other hand, has been a handful these past 2 years. Refuses to help around the house, skips his classes all the time. He failed the last 2 semesters of high school last year. He had to repeat the whole junior year. I even convinced the principal to give him a chance to pass. And he gave him an ultimatum, which was as long as he showed up for the last 2 months of spring and did his work, he would pass. He skipped a total of 10 days during those 2 months and failed. Mm. This past summer, the principal offered 3 summer classes. I told him I would buy him a car if he passed all 3 classes to motivate him. He got dropped because he's not doing his homework. Ugh. The summer classes were even online. This year, he tells me he'd rather drop out of high school and get a job, which enraged me and told him it was unacceptable and that I doubted he would be able to hold a job with this obvious lack of discipline. It turned into a screaming match, and he left to his dad's apartment. I work 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and I try to wake him up before I leave for work, but once I leave, he goes back to sleep. He stays up all night, staying on the phone or playing video games. I took away his phone, and I took away his console, but his dad bought him new ones and called me a bad mother.
Oh, God.
It hurts. I tried taking him to therapy, but he refuses to go. and I really don't know where to go from here. I try to help them. I try to be nice. I try to be assertive, but nothing works. If anyone listening has really sound advice, it would mean so much. I am so emotionally drained, it hurts.
Wow, she's really going through it, isn't she?
It sounds like she's tried everything and nothing works. What do you do in that situation? When you got a 17-year-old who just sounds like he's just giving up, what do you do? Do you just let, sometimes you got to let people burn and figure it out on their own. You can only do so much, especially as a parent, I'm assuming.
Right.
But after this, like, you've tried and tried. Where do you go from here? I mean, you never want to give up on your kid, I'm sure. But at some point, it doesn't sound like your ex is any help.
Right. Well, that is really something. I mean, I just think that you're right, Moose. You do have to let your kids crash and burn. And I know that's not sound advice that she's probably hoping for. But, I mean, my parents did.
Well, when it came to certain situations, I'm sure. I'd love to hear from you guys. If you got kids, if you've dealt with teenagers that struggle like this, 585-252-9800. Yeah, you've gotten into trouble and your parents were like, yeah, you're on your own.
I'm still paying it back to this day.
You screwed around in college.
Uh-huh.
Like, you pay for it now.
Yeah. It's devastating, to be honest, because...
What, to pay for school?
I mean,
what's
I was in a position where I didn't have to pay for school, and then I screwed it all up, and now I have to pay for school.
Yeah, you learned the hard way.
And I'm paying copious amounts of loans with copious amounts of interest. So there's that. It's not great.
If your kid wants to drop out of high school at 17 and decide he wants to get a job, even though he clearly has no motivation, no ambition... Do you just let him figure it out on his own?
That's
the question.
This person says the dad needs to step in. If the dad just allows him to give up, then that's enough for the kid not to care. Another thought is whether the older sibling could step in and kind of give him a wake-up call of some sort as well. This person says, at this point, I would just have the boy go live with his father. She's not giving up. She did everything that she could, and now it's time for the father to actually try and put this kid on track.
Let me pick up some phone calls here coming in. PXY, who's this?
Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Hi. So this kid obviously has something going on, you know, where he's maybe depressed or just doesn't have, you know, that motivation to finish. So if this mom's done everything she can, sometimes the best thing you can do is tell them, listen, you either graduate.
Yeah.
You get your GED. If you choose to get a job while you're living under my roof, your job has to help pay for the roof that you're under, like a normal functioning adult.
Yes.
Or you move in with your dad.
Oh, which has got to be so tough for that to happen,
yes,
too.
Which, and it would be, but if that's his choice, that's his choice, because now he's almost 18, which is
legal,
you know,
adult, right?
Exactly. So he either helps with the house and learns how to be an adult and realize, you know, you're not going to get a great job if you don't even have a high school diploma,
right?
Which he'll figure out pretty quickly. So maybe that'll switch him back to get either his GED or go back to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can go to his dad's, who it sounds like isn't being very helpful in letting him slack off. And then eventually his dad will get fed up and realize, hey, something's got to be done. So he'll be able to put the same, you know, ultimatum on him. Graduate, GED, or get a job and help.
Yeah. You know, we have a text message coming in from Maria that said, let him get a job. I was the exact same way as a teen. I barely passed high school, but I found that I'm much more disciplined at a job. I truly believe some people just do better staying busy and working versus sitting and staring at a board all day. But I'm the type of person where I had to figure it out and somebody had to let me crash and burn before I got it together. I think that's what it comes down to, is people need to understand how the real world works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe getting into a trade will help him. Like, you know, some people really, maybe there's a learning, you know, block where he's not able to get past and he's starting to feel that, and he's maybe feeling like a failure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's slowly giving
so,
up.
So giving him the option to say, okay, let's learn a trade. And if you can succeed at this trade, then great. Maybe he can work his way up, you know, as an electrician or a plumber or something like that, because there's not enough people working the trades anyways.
I just like beg that he would do that in high school. You know what I mean? So it's free through BOCES. But, you
know. Yeah, that's great advice.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah.
This person says, sounds like she should just let them sink or swim. If he drops out, he should probably get his GED. Good morning. As a social worker and having a kid that struggles like this too, the reality is that he's old enough to live with his own consequences of his decisions. She can love him, but not support his bad choices.
This
good
is
news
like-
is he's an adult for far long enough, and a teenager, he will figure this out. He's not doomed for life.
No, I don't think he is either. He's still young. But it's like the Mel Robbins theory we talked about last week.
That's what this person said.
Yeah, let him.
Like, basically using the theory.
So Diana says, my husband was a wild child, dropped out of high school, got into drugs, got his GED. At 19, he realized he didn't want to live the lifestyle he was living anymore. So he enrolled in college, went to rehab, got a job where he met me, and is now an amazing human. He excels at his job in medical sales, wonderful husband and father, and is 10 years sober, but he had to want that for himself. No matter what others told him, he had to want to change his life up. And it's going to hurt to hear this, but you can't force your son to change, especially at his age. He's going to come to a point where he has to want to do it on his own. It was 100%, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dee says, I think you need to let him drop out, get a job, and learn how life works for what it's worth. My brother dropped out of high school. It took years, but he finally got it together. It's not the end-all, be-all, Stacey. So there's still a lot of hope, but I think Stephanie made a good point. He either can stay in school, finish it off, or go to get his GED, or if he does drop out and get a job, he has to pay to live at home, mm-hmm. help pay for that mortgage or that rent, or he's got to go live with his dad.
Right.
And that's going to be a tough conversation to have, but it needs to be had.
Absolutely.
You got to make sure he's uncomfortable, because right now it sounds like he's pretty comfortable. Thanks for all the messages on this one this morning, guys. There's still a lot coming in, and I'll send these over to Stacey after the show today. It's Peaks Why Mornings. We'll be right back.
Got something to say? Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station, 98 PXY.
Miles Smith on PXY Mornings. Moose Breezy, a leading national health program, just released nutrition guidelines for kids focused on primarily what they should drink. And I got to tell you, there are some teenagers that are not going to be happy because they are saying no caffeine before the age of 19. And let's be honest, there's a lot of teenagers that are already addicted to those caramel frappuccinos.
Yes, they are.
That's not coffee, by the way. It's milk. It's a milkshake.
That's milk and sugar.
It's a dessert. If you have a teenager, you're more than likely familiar with Prime. It's that high caffeinated energy drink that social media influencer Logan Paul developed. I mean, if you're looking for a heart attack, probably wouldn't recommend it. It has 200 milligrams of caffeine. That's six times the amount of caffeine in a 12-ounce can of Coke. So there's a director of healthy eating research, and they were like discussing all the studies they did on kids who intake caffeine on the regular. I'm sure it's not a huge surprise, but there was a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
It led to sleep disturbances, depression, mood swings, mood disorders, and increased risk of other negative behaviors. They're saying it increased people doing a lot of these teens doing alcohol and tobacco. But she also points out caffeine can also cause high blood pressure, heart palpitations, and the leading expert panel, to conclude that kids and teens should avoid caffeine as much as possible. The group advised parents to limit even 100% fruit juice. When's it gonna end?
It's never going to end.
They said research shows that the healthiest choice for kids for adequate hydration is water and pasteurized cow's milk. Because if you are giving your kids nothing but fruit juice, that means later on down the road, they're going to eat less and less of fruits and vegetables.
What?
So if your kid is sweating his ass off on the soccer field, Give him a water bottle full of pasteurized cow's milk.
I'm so good. No, I'm so good. Thank you.
I need a Gatorade.
So much.
There's too much sugar.
I need electrolytes. No.
Coming up on the show, I love when we do this segment because we never know what we're going to get. Call or text us now to share your unpopular opinions with us. 585-252-9800. The phone lines are open. There, I said it. It's coming up next.
98PX. Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. My mother-in-law's cooking is mediocre at best. If young adults want to start buying their own homes, maybe they should stop ordering avocado toast. I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show. There. I said it. Now, doesn't that feel better? BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There, I Said It on the number one hip music station. 98
BXY. All right, let's get unhinged, shall we? 585-252-9800 for There, I Said It. We will get to all your unpopular opinions because it's time to clear
the air.
Let's get go over
that to... stampede of elephants out of the room.
What's up, Rob? Good morning, guys. The parking people in this city suck. There, I said it. Well, they're just doing their job, Rob.
So I have a theory on them. I think they all were like hall monitors in middle school and like bus patrol people. You know, when you have the sash and you think you're like it,
well,
that's them.
Listen, when the meter's up, the meter's up. They got a job to do. What are you gonna, you know, it's a tough job at times. People are pulling knives on them. Or shanks. Who else is here?
Not the shanks.
Lydia says, I honestly think that fumes from cars and buses smell so good. I know it's weird. There, I said it.
No, well, I get that. I fully love the smell of a musty basement.
Well, hit us back up in 5 years, Lydia. We want to take bets on whether or not you're going to be brain dead by then.
She's drinking gasoline. We don't know. All right, let's get into it, shall we?
Guzzling gasoline, yes.
No, but that was on my strange addiction.
No way, you can't survive that.
Google it.
You can't
Google it.
What were they doing?
Google it. They were drinking gasoline.
I don't believe that for a second. Your body can't intake gasoline and be okay. Was she pouring it on her cornflakes? There's no way.
Drinks, gas.
She drinks a bunch of gasoline. That's her cocktail over ice.
There's Shannon.
Likes a cigarette.
Shannon's family wants her to stop drinking gasoline.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you.
I wonder how many episodes of My Strange Addiction were totally produced.
I literally can't.
Like, do you remember the guy that was in love? He was making love every night to his car?
Yep.
What was it? Like a Pontiac? He had to come out of the closet to his father and say, yeah, I've been making love to my vehicle.
And then they ended up breaking up, him and his car, and then he fell in love.
With a bus?
No, with a carnival ride.
What? He fell in love with a carnival ride after the car?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's someone for everyone, you guys. I think mine for today is... People who order, I know I've mentioned this already twice on the show this morning, it's because I'm pissed. People who order frappuccinos and iced lattes with whipped cream
do
not love coffee. That's not coffee. That's dessert.
That's ice cream.
You love milkshakes, not coffee.
Right.
So stop convincing yourself that you need coffee in the morning to function. No, you don't. You just need a milkshake that's giving you diabetes. There, I said it.
You say the word diabetes on this show more than I would like to admit.
No way. When's
like
the last time?
You always are saying diabetes.
Should I be saying diabetes?
No. I'm not saying you're saying it wrong. I'm just saying you say the word a lot.
I disagree.
Pulling all the air checks.
There is a lot of things that give you diabetes. I'm just saying.
Mine for today is this. I prefer crew necks over hoodies. There, I said it. I feel like hoodies are constantly horse collaring you, and I just feel more free in a crew neck. And I don't know. I just feel like more people should wear more crew necks. There, I said it.
I love a good hoodie. I really do.
I don't like the strings. It's just a lot. But
That's just
thanks for that
opinion.
Hot take, Breezy.
Thank you so much.
Let's go over to our girl, Cassandra. Guys, my mom has the worst dating advice ever. There, I said it. Someone saying there are 8 billion other people out there when you get broken up with is the worst thing you can say to somebody. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that
listen, I got to tell you, out of those 8 billion people, you still walk away empty-handed.
Yeah.
It's really tough out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, thank you guys so much for being vulnerable with us this morning. We really are. We really do want to be your sounding board. So
let's go over to Kelvin. You all take some stretch marks on women any day of the week. I like my ladies with a little bit of mileage. You guys feel me? Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah, it's sexy when a... What is the old saying? It's hotter when a tiger earns their stripes.
Right.
I don't know. That's just what I read on a Snapple cap one time.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, we all got them. You know what I mean?
If you don't have them, you're weird. There, I said it. Period.
We have a phone call. Hello, PXY. Who's this? Hello, PXY.
Hey, this is Owen.
Hi, Owen.
What's up, Owen?
Hey, guys. So I have a there I said it for today.
Okay.
Make it juicy.
Oh, my God. It's this is actually so weird. I'm talking to you guys right now. My there I said it is I think dry January is ridiculous. And even though I have been pretending to do it all month with my girlfriend, I have actually been drinking the entire time.
Oh, you've been boozed on the side. Right.
Oh, and you sound like you've been drinking this morning.
Oh, no.
Yep, there I said it.
Oh,
listen, Owen, you caught us at the very end of the segment. We need more details on this. Are you cool if we talk to you in a couple minutes coming into the next segment?
Oh, yeah.
We need to know why, though. We need to know why you decided. By the way, does your girlfriend have any idea that you were drinking the entire month of January?
No, none whatsoever.
They haven't hinted. All right, stay right there, buddy, because we need more info. We're going to get Owen back on the phone with us and finish this conversation coming up next. PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy Breeze. I'm not sure why this kid Owen thought it was a good idea to put himself on blast.
But he's doing it.
He called in during our There I Said It segment last break. But it wouldn't surprise me if this got back to his girlfriend. Owen, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Owen, good morning. So you called in last segment. You confessed to drinking the entire month of January, even though you agreed and promised your girlfriend that you would do it with her. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Okay, so
no,
what...
yeah, for sure.
Okay, tell us what happened.
Okay, so I think one of the main reasons she was so adamant about doing it was because she wanted to lose a little weight. Because, let me tell you, she loves pounding Surfsides and espresso martinis. And
sounds like Breezy.
Okay.
So she was begging me to do it with her initially. I said no.
As like an accountability buddy.
Yeah. But,
and you said
she wouldn't
no.
Let it, yeah. And she wouldn't let it go. So I eventually got sick of hearing her complain. So I decided I have just been pretending to do it all month long. But I've been drinking almost every other day since New Year's.
What are you drinking exactly?
Where are you drinking?
Are you doing it alone?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever I'm out on my own or...
Oh, you guys live together?
No, but we're together enough.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'd like to have a quick one. You know, I got a little flask. You didn't know about that.
But maybe Owen, you should see somebody.
Yeah, wait.
Do you think you
have an alcohol problem? Like, genuinely?
No, it's just, you know, I got those, like, post-New Year's blues, and I like to party, so that's just me.
Okay.
And, you know.
What? Why the lying? Why the lying, though? Like, why couldn't you just be like, no, I'm not into this? Or tell her that you broke. You know what I mean?
How do you think she would take it? Well, how do you think she would take it?
Oh, she would absolutely lose her mind on me.
Oh, okay.
What else have you lied to your girlfriend about?
Right. This is like kind of sketchy.
Because you've gone through the whole entire month pretending to do Dry January, and you've just been drinking every other day, you said? Almost every day?
Yeah, not every day, but close. I don't know. To me, it's just a stupid trend people do. And look, I understand, like, hey, it's healthy and cool to give your liver a break. But I just think it's super annoying when you have to force other people to do it. And there, I said it.
Yeah, you said it again.
Yeah, you said it one more time.
Yeah.
Owen, why do you have such a hard time being a supportive partner?
I don't know. My feeling is just because my girlfriend is trying to get healthy and lose weight doesn't mean I have to too.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
oh, man, this is a good there I said it. You know, what I'm most surprised about is the fact that what if she hears this? Are you worried about the repercussions?
Well, on the bright side, January is almost over, so that's less time for her to get mad at me.
Okay, there's that, I guess. You're very optimistic, buddy. All right. Well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
I love how you like went the whole month without getting busted, and then you're like, you know what? Let's blow it on the 30th.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, right? Oh, that's interesting. All right, man. Well, good luck to you.
Well, thanks for letting me get that off my chest.
You're so welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye. Okay. I'm looking at this text that's coming in while we're talking to Owen, and it says, didn't leave a name. If this is the same Owen I'm thinking of, then it would be no surprise that he lied to his girlfriend about participating in a month of no drinking, considering he lies to her about a lot of other things.
Oh, that's tea.
Oh, the webs we weave. Let's go over to Jamie.
Where do we find these people?
What's up, guys? Good morning. There are worse things that can happen in a relationship. I kind of agree with this guy, oddly enough. Just because his girlfriend wants to do Dry January doesn't mean she should force him to do it too. I wanted to do a vegan diet for 60 days, but I did not make my boyfriend do it with me.
Right.
I was miserable the whole time. I only got to 12 days in. Okay.
Oh my God.
Hey, Breeze, you've been doing Dry January. You're done. Tomorrow is the last day. It's the 31st tomorrow. Have you slipped up at all in these last 30 days? Breeze?
I'll talk to you later about that.
Hey, did you slip up?
I'll talk to you later about that. Maybe we cut the mics. Yeah.
What, is your girlfriend doing Dry January?
No, not at all. But
what happened?
I was doing it with my best friend.
Yeah.
And then we went out to lunch and I looked at her. I was like, I broke. She was like, I did too. I had a margarita the other night. I was like,
what did you have?
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. I was at the wedding last weekend.
You know I support you, but I knew you couldn't do it.
Shut up. I literally asked you the first moment I met you, like to start this show together. I was like, we should do this together. It'd be a really good bonding experience, a good trust exercise. And you broke day two.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful Cabernet at my parents. I was like, wait, we're doing Dry January.
I'm not going to try to pretend to be someone I'm not.
Fully. But I was at the wedding and I was like, I'm drinking. And then I had one drink and got a stomach ache and didn't drink again.
What was the drink?
What do you think?
An espresso martini.
No. Try again.
Diet Coke in Malibu?
Ding, ding, ding. Just drinking suntan lotion.
Oh my God. It smells bad, let alone drinking it.
Yeah.
Katie says Dry January is so funny. People are like, how can I make the worst month of the year even worse?
No, fully.
Yeah.
Success is picking up extra
You know what, guys? If you're going to do a good deed, don't do it because you want recognition for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's Peaks by Mornings, Moose, Breezy Breeze. And I think we all see this time and time again on social media.
We do.
It's just, it gives...
It's giving me the ick.
Well, it makes you cringe a little bit, too, for because sure. It's like, are you really doing this for the right reasons, or are you doing it so somebody can tap that little heart button?
Right. So, I am, like, knee-deep into my reality show of the winter. I'm watching Southern Charm. I'm on season 3. And yesterday, one of the guys had his, like, confessional interview thing. And he said something very interesting, and I was like, hmm. And mind you, all these people on this show are loaded. They have, like, you know, mailbox money coming in from the South and all the things. And he said, that's like somebody donating to a charity or to an organization anonymously. Who would do that? If I'm going to donate to something, I want my name on the side of the hospital. Which was just the craziest thing I've ever heard, because, like, yeah, obviously that guy's, like, super pretentious and super, like, full of himself and, you know, flashy and all of the things. But it got me to thinking, do people do things for the actual genuine good of doing them? Or do they just want the recognition of doing something good? And I think the question that I'm asking this morning is much broader, because I think it can be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, there's a lot of people with a good heart that do it for the right reasons that don't need to film it. And
right.
It's genuine, you know, but there's also a lot of people where, you know, they have to fill that void within themselves.
The influencers.
Yeah.
The influencers going and buying the groceries for the single mom and the bag of clothes for the houseless person. And
I think some get away with doing that. They'll do it, but yeah, then they'll write the description, hey, I'm just trying to spread some love. You too should also go out there and spread the love as well. And I was like, well,
do you look down on people, though, for doing that? Because they are doing a good deed at the end of the day.
But they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it because they want attention. Look at me. Look at the good deed that I'm doing.
It has nothing to do with the homeless person.
And, you know, everybody's going to say the same thing. Yeah, it's cringe, because everything you just did has just gone out the window. Now nobody's buying it anymore.
Right.
Now it's just so not genuine that it's like, well, you just, why are you actually really doing it? You got to ask yourself the question, why did I just do that?
But then, like, to go the other side of it, like, to donate to something anonymously is crazy.
I've done it.
Really?
Not a lot of money. $100.
$5?
No, it was $100, but I didn't need to put my name on it.
Why? Why?
Because a majority of the people that are donating were giving like $1,000. So I was, you know what I'm saying? I was like, nah.
You were doing it to save your own embarrassment.
Well, what difference does it make? I still donated.
That's hilarious.
You know, but
true.
You know, regardless, I don't feel the need to put my name anyways. A good deed is a good deed.
I've seen your name on things, though.
A good deed is a good deed. And the only thing you need to worry about is if you do it, it's going to come back tenfold. The world doesn't need to know about it.
So what about that one time that I saw a man struggling on the side of the road?
Yeah.
And I gave him a six pack. I gave him some pretzels.
Sure.
And then he yelled at me and said, why don't you have chicken? That was something I probably should have been recording.
Yeah, that would have been comical. That would have been funny.
Where's the chicken? Me. I don't know. No, but I mean, like, listen, I think that there's so many good people out in this world, and those good people either are on one side of the spectrum or the other. They either have to be recognized and have to have their name on the side of the hospital or the Y or whatever it is, or they're just a silent donor.
I would imagine it's very uncomfortable when somebody is down on their luck, sitting on a sidewalk, begging for change, and someone comes up and puts a camera in their face.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as well. Like, I mean, it's such a delicate thing, because, like, you look like the hero and you are doing the right thing and helping, but, like, does it have to be recorded? It's like, everything's content, I get it, but also, like,
there's a fine line.
Or is there an ulterior motive of, like, I'm going to get so many followers for this. Like, this is going to go viral. I'm going to get so many. You're preying on one's downfall and demise, essentially, for your own personal gain, which I'm like,
that's what it is. But what about us when we do charity events and we do stuff And then we are being told we have to like document this and put it on social media. Are we hypocrites?
No, because I'm donating my time. I'm doing it for free. Like, I'm not getting paid to be there.
But I'm
so it's a partnership at that point.
Well, I'm saying though, a lot of these people aren't getting paid either when they put it on camera. But you have to think
they're getting a kickback of some sort in some way, whether it be engagement on their posts, whether it be followers on their socials, whether it be more lead to more brand deals because they see, oh, this is a really good person and we really want to work with them.
I'll tell you what, when I was in LA, I saw this influencer. This girl goes under a bridge. I'm parked at a red light and she's setting up a ring light at a tripod where there's a homeless encampment and she's handing out like treats and like toiletries and stuff. And she's like going from person to person and she's making sure
that like,
the person.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
They're all mic'd up.
It's so. It was so calculated. It was so uncomfortable to watch because all these people under this bridge are like, well, what is she doing?
Right? Like, what's happening here?
And she's going from person to person, hugging them. And I'm like, it's very, very nice of you. But these people are, oh, God.
Yeah.
Some of them have hepatitis. It's, yeah, it spreads. Anyways, though, if you're going to do good, do it for the right reasons. That's all we're saying.
Absolutely.
You feel better?
Yeah, I feel great.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy 33 for the high today. This is a very serious question, and I was wondering if anybody listening happened to have the answer. How does one know if they have already peaked in life? I'm asking for a friend.
You literally are asking for a friend.
I know I am. I get a call yesterday from a close buddy that I was very close with in LA, and he wishes me a happy belated birthday.
Like 4 days later, but okay.
Well, you do it when you can do it. And he goes into telling me how annoyed he is because someone he works with told him that he peaked in high school.
That's brutal.
He goes, do you think that's true? I said, oh, it's absolutely true.
That's brutal.
I said, you had all of your high school football trophies and accolades still on display in your room in your mid-30s in your apartment. He goes, yeah, because it's a conversation starter. Girls come over and they start asking questions. I said, right. And then you tell them those were from 16 years ago when you were in high school, and they get turned off and they leave. He goes, well, I was all state. I broke records. I said, dude, you're living in the past. You're 43.
And you're okay, he was not in high school 16 years ago then.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. He's 43. How long ago was that?
Well over 20.
Okay. Well, definitely over 20 years. Okay.
I was in high school 16 years ago.
Okay. That makes sense. He's 43. Okay. He's got 2 years on me and he's struggling to move on. So after I hang up the phone with him, because he's all butthurt now, I go, I hope I haven't peaked yet. Have I? How can you possibly know? How would you know if you've peaked?
I would argue that I'm peaking right now.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like I'm in such an era of just...
Peakness.
I'm peaking.
So basically when someone says you peaked, it means there's nothing...
You were at your height, you were at your prime, and it's only downhill from here.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be hard to hear.
Yeah.
But he's totally peaked. You know what?
And peaking in high school is embarrassing.
Yeah, because basically, in those 4 years, you did one thing, which was play football, and you were really good at it. You never got a scholarship, though. It never took you anywhere. So basically, your senior year of high school at the age of 18,
that's where your life ends. That's where the chapter closes.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, how can you tell that somebody peaked in high school? Where there's a couple of different ways we can dissect this.
All right, break it down.
The first one is if someone is still holding on to their accolades, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
If someone is still wearing their Letterman jacket and or gear from said sport, yikes. If somebody won't stop talking about that one game in 94...
Yep.
And how you should have won.
If somebody is still hanging their high school graduation tassel from their rearview mirror.
That is so cringe.
People
just
do it.
Even doing that in general is cringe.
Well, I did it all through, you know, college. I still had it. Yeah, class of 02, Greece Athena, baby. It's just hanging from the rearview mirror.
I am dead. So, yeah, not to throw shade right now, but like I used to work at this country club where all the like older men, that was like so them. They just like, they were like 60 something years old talking about like what they did in high school. And I'm like, wait, am I missing something here? Like, why are you wearing your Letterman jacket? Richard.
Who's this? Naya. Still acting like a typical mean girl when they're damn near 30. That's how you know you've peaked in high school. Mm. That's another one right there. Yeah. That's a good one. Let's go over who's this? Big Nick. You don't know because you have no idea what the future holds. Some people don't become rich or famous until their 40s or 50s. Right. And they're struggling just to get by until then. So you really have no clue how your life is going to turn out, even if it seems obvious to you now. Well, Nick makes a really good point because my buddy could very well do something productive in the next 10 years and fool all of us, but I doubt that's going to happen.
This person says life is a series of peaks and valleys. There's not just one major peak, so tell him he's fine.
Yeah, because I really started thinking about it last night. I'm like, is there anything left for me? Have I done it all? There's no way. It can't be. I have so many ambitions. I just feel like I have so many dreams still and things that I want to accomplish that I haven't gotten to yet. Because
then you haven't
because
peaked.
It's cold out. I have no motivation right now. We got to wait until it gets a little warmer. Anything above 50 degrees, that's where I'm like, okay, let's we'll get to work. But right now, I can't do anything.
Fair enough. Fair enough. No, I don't think you've peaked. I think I'm peaking right now.
I disagree. There's no, out of all people, even you, I know that's definitely not the case.
What?
You, I mean, you're constantly coming up with some bright idea to do something. So I don't think you've peaked, especially at 30.
I feel like this is the highest I've been in a while. I'm levitating.
So you're just really happy.
Yeah. And I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm living, I'm laughing, I'm loving. I'm in a good spot, and I feel good. And I hope this isn't my peak, you know what I mean? I hope there's higher and higher and higher. But for right now, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I'm crushing it. Like, not to make this all about me, but...
Let me ask you something. Do you have the same hairstyle now that you did in high school?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, if you did, then yeah, you definitely peaked.
Hey, it's Devins, and I've got all the strange news stories that you won't get scrolling your Instagram feed. Starting at 3 every afternoon, right here on 98 PXY.